Welcome, Hog fans, into the Basketball Podcast in Mid-America. I'm Blake Sutton from Whole Hog Sports. I'm here with Scotty Bordelon, also from Whole Hog Sports. We are inside Bud Walton Arena on campus at the University of Arkansas. Mike Anderson just finished up his Monday press conference, coming off of the loss to Mississippi State in Fayetteville. Last time we did the podcast, we were talking about if Arkansas could win a road game at either South Carolina or Missouri, they're back in the conversation to make the NCAA tournament. Well, we all know how that turned out. Yeah. Arkansas not only lost both road games, they turned around and lost a Saturday home game.
They lost both road games in spectacular fashion.
Yeah. Gave up a huge lead against South Carolina, stormed back from a huge deficit against Missouri, and also gave up a lead against Mississippi State. So I think the wheels have officially come off of this team. Yeah, a couple weeks ago we're talking they could sneak back into the NCAA tournament. Now looks like they have some work to do even to make the NIT. But I guess that's basketball for you.
Yeah. And I wrote, Clay Henry texted me yesterday and asked me if I could write an analysis piece for Hogs Illustrated for the next issue. And when I was getting everything together to start writing that this morning, I looked at the last magazine that got put out, and I think it was like the February issue, but I think the last basketball game I had written about in the magazine was Texas A&M. So wow. I was like, oh my God, I've got so much ground to cover. And like literally since then, it's been literally like a roller coaster. Like you beat A&M, lose four straight, win four straight in league, and then now you're on your second losing streak in conference play of like at least three games. Mm. And like you said, they'd won like after the Vanderbilt game, which they were pretty fortunate to win, like they'd won four straight conference games, and you're thinking, okay, they've got a couple of winnable road games coming up against teams like South Carolina. Going into that game, had lost like five games at home.
Yeah.
For the season. And Missouri is not a good team. So you're just like, you should be able to go in there and win. Like, even if you don't play your best, you can go in there and win. Arkansas plays its, I think it was their it tied for their third best night in terms of like offensive efficiency for the season. And because they couldn't defend the 10th best team in the league offensively, they lost.
Yeah.
And then you throw in Saturday's clunker, and dude, it's just like it went from, yeah, this team, like if they can split, I think we talked about like if you can split, because mm-hmm. I don't think either of us expected Arkansas to win at South Carolina and Missouri back to back. But like if you could split, that'd be fine because you got four Saturday home games coming up. And so if you do that, you're at 14 wins, 15 wins, you win your Saturday home games, you're at 19. Mm-hmm. You can't even count on a win at home anymore. And I think that really is kind of like the black mark right now, I think, is because you can't even guarantee home wins. Like Arkansas used to could come in here with the most average team, like when they had Ricky Scott and Mardrakus Wade and like some – not that those guys were mediocre players. They were pretty good. But, like, they could play way above their heads at home. And this team has now lost to Western Kentucky, Georgia Tech, and Mississippi State and LSU. Florida and LSU at home. Like, you can't even count on a win in Bud Walton Arena. And that's when things start to spiral a little bit, I think.
Yeah, five home losses already.
Most in Mike's tenure. He'd never lost more than four home games in a season.
Yeah, and speaking of things you used to be able to count on, Arkansas on Saturday had, a six-point lead at halftime?
Six-point lead, and then Dan hit two free throws, like, in the first minute of the second half, I think, so you're up eight.
Yeah, and so didn't they – I mean, I forget what the official stat was. They had won, like, 40 games in a row that they had led at halftime, and then I think Western Kentucky, they snapped that streak.
Yep.
And then now in the Mississippi State game, you're – you have a lead at halftime. You're at home on a Saturday, and then they come out after halftime and give up a 23-1 run. I don't even know how that's possible.
It was ugly.
At home.
Well, I can kind of tell you why it happened. But going back to, like to the Saturday thing, coming into this season, Arkansas was 42-5, at wow. home on Saturdays under Mike Anderson. And now they're like this season, they're 2-3 with losses to Western Kentucky, LSU, and Mississippi State. And they lost three of their last four games on weekends here. And that's like normally the time when Arkansas like plays some of its showcase basketball because the crowds are bigger. They can, like, if they get the crowd involved early, like that's normally like a knockout punch to the other team. And then just the other team, the opponent just can't recover. But as soon as Dan got those two fouls early in the second half, everything just changed. And I don't want to slam any of the players. I don't particularly like to do that. But the numbers that I've looked up the last three games are pretty alarming. So the last on Arkansas's three-game losing streak, Arkansas has been outscored by 46 points in the 38 minutes that Gabe Osaboyan's been on the floor.
Baffling.
It was Arkansas got outscored, so he played 8 minutes the other night, got outscored by 12 points. And when Dan went out of the game, Gabe came in for just a short stretch. Like, it was 3 minutes tops, I think. And Mississippi State went on, a 12-1 run right off the bat. And then they turned it into a 23-1 run after that. And it spiraled out of control.
Mike seems to have this strange affinity for Gabe Osaboyan. It's kind of hard to figure out. What do you think it is? I mean, does he just not want to be proven wrong about Gabe, or
he's playing him out of necessity? But still, I feel
like Reggie Chaney is better though, and Gabe gets so many more minutes.
Yeah, that was my next point. Like, Reggie is your next best option. Like, I've gone over the numbers like plenty of times this year. Like, Gabe, or not Gabe, but when Reggie and Dan share the floor, they play really well together. So when one guy is out, say Dan has to go to the bench, why not throw the other guy out there? Like, let Reggie go out and play. And like, he's long, he can protect the rim at times. Like, he's been a little bit foul prone. I don't think he's like really been the same since he blocked five shots against Georgia. And he kind of has this tendency of like, whenever the ball touches his hands on the offensive end, like, he gets happy feet a little bit and turns the ball over quite a bit. But you've got to let it – like, if you can let Gabe play through some of the stuff he does, you can let Reggie play through him traveling, surely.
Yeah, it seems like Mike's had Reggie on a really short leash. He'll put him in, and if he makes one mistake, he pulls him right back out.
He's not played more than 18 minutes, I think, this month in any of the five games, which is – it's kind of crazy. So he played – 10 at LSU, 18 against Vanderbilt, 12 at South Carolina, 15 at Missouri, and then 10 the other night. And he had 5 points, 2 boards. He did turn the ball over twice. He fouled 3 times, but like, that's better than, you know, subbing a guy in the first half, and the first 3 times he touches the ball, he turns it over like Gabe did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, when Gabe came in, Arkansas had four possessions. I think he played 4 possessions. When he first checked in, all of those possessions resulted in turnovers. Like, Reggie had one of them, but Gabe had the other three. And I asked Mike today, because Arkansas's bench has not been good the last three games. They've been outscored 51-29 the last three games in this losing streak. And it was like, what do you say to Gabe when he has, like, that really rough stretch? Like, he turned the ball over the third time the other night, dude, and I wish you could have heard the crowd groan. It was pretty rough. They were like, are you serious? Like, he telegraphed his pass again, or he misread a backdoor cut or something. But Mike was like, Mississippi State was telegraphing his passes because he's staring down the guy he's trying to get the ball to. But it was like, what do you got to do to pick his confidence up? Because they, like, as much as we kind of rag on Gabe sometimes, like, they need some production from him. Like, you got pretty good games from him. Let me see. You got pretty good games from him against Missouri. He had 7 points. Mississippi, Ole Miss, he had 13. You know, he'll give you like solid minutes every now and then. Like, he had 6 assists against LSU. That's kind of hard. That's kind of hard to come by for a forward coming off the bench. But man, it's
not a very refined game.
Man, it's almost getting to a point where you're just like, you at this point in the season, it's almost like you can't afford to put a guy on the floor that not only will take ill-advised threes, but isn't a good shooter, and his offensive game still got a long way to go. And when he's not shooting the ball, he's turning the ball over. And, like, he does a great job sometimes of taking charges and stuff, and he'll rebound pretty well for you. But, man, it's like, at some point, you got to go to another option and just let Reggie – Just let Reggie play through his mistakes. I think he's got the greater upside.
And we've talked about it previously, but this is when you really miss a guy like Darius Hall. Gabe wouldn't be playing the minutes that he is if Darius Hall hadn't transferred, and kind of wonder what this team could have been. He could have been a starter. He would have been the first guy off the bench, most likely, if he would have stayed.
If like a guy that was just in here the other night, like Reggie Perry, would have come here.
Yeah.
Would have come here. He's probably starting next to Dan.
That was a little embarrassing as well. The fans and students were all giving Reggie Perry a hard time, and then he outplays Daniel Gafford.
I like to look at like the signs of the student section leaders hold up, like when opposing teams being introduced, and Reggie Perry was the first Mississippi State player to have his name announced, and it kind of like they did it kind of quickly, and I think kind of caught the student section off guard a little bit, but they held up a sign that said bad choice. And I thought that was really funny, and they booed him and all that, and then he went out and grabbed like his fifth double double in like seven games or whatever. He's been playing really well. He had like got named SEC Freshman of the Week a couple of weeks ago, and he's playing his best ball right now. So
yeah, he finished up with 12 points compared to Arkansas's big man Daniel Gafford, who only finished up with 8 points. Haven't really talked about him much, but you mentioned the roller coaster a little bit earlier. I mean, talk about roller coaster with Daniel Gafford. Some nights he'll give you 28 points, and other nights in a Saturday home game he gets 8 points in the whole game.
So the last four he's gone 28, 8, 26 and then 8 again.
So it's really hard to explain.
Really, really up and down. Like in those two games that he scored 20 plus, he's got 14 shots and 17 shots, and then the other two games he's got 12 combined.
Wow.
So I think Mississippi State's length really bothered him. We talked about it for a minute before we started recording, but Mississippi State threw three different guys at Dan the other night. Reggie Perry, who's a legit 6'10", 245. Like I was really impressed. Like we sometimes talk about how well-built and well-put-together Reggie Chaney is. Mm-hmm. He's 6'8", and about 230. Reggie Perry's 6'10", and 245, and just like solid. So you throw Reggie Perry at him, and then Abdul Adu, who is 6'11", 255.
Wow.
So he's got like 15 or 20 pounds on Dan. And then you bring a guy off the bench who's also 6'10", 225, in Eric Coleman. And that's just, dude, that's so much length. And they match Dan's length like perfectly, and limited him. And the only person who had a pulse the other night on offense was Mason Jones. It really reminded me of the Florida game.
Right.
A little bit, because he scored 30 and nobody else even reached double figures.
Nobody else had a pulse.
Nope, not at all.
Well, Arkansas falls to 14-11, 5-7 in SEC play after losing to Mississippi State. Their next game, which Mike Anderson just previewed, at Auburn, coached by Bruce Pearl, who's always a animated character on the sidelines. Auburn started off super hot. They've kind of cooled off. They were top 10 for much of the early season. Now they're 6-6. I think in league play.
Yeah, 17-8 for the season.
Middle of the pack. Arkansas is going to have their hands full. What do you see out of Auburn? We're kind of doom and gloom today. I mean, is there any chance Arkansas steals one on the Plains?
If Auburn plays the way that they did against Ole Miss last Wednesday, and Arkansas's got a shot. Like, Auburn only scored 55 at home against Ole Miss the other night. I think Bryce Brown and Jared Harper, who's Auburn's top two guards, they like went a combined 3-for-20 from the floor. And you're just like, as an Arkansas fan, you're probably watching that game and you're like, oh, why couldn't they save that for when Arkansas comes? But they're, I think Bob's writing about them the next day or two. Auburn really likes to shoot the three. And when they're on, like, I don't know if you watched any of the Kentucky game when Kentucky came to Auburn, but Kentucky had firm control of that game, and they were just absolutely dominating Auburn on the glass, getting anything they wanted. And then Bryce Brown hit like 4 or 5 threes straight, and it's just like that can flip a game in no time. Let me see.
And Arkansas has traditionally, the past few years or so, not guarded the perimeter so well.
shots.
Oh, no.
Give up a lot of open threes. And if the other team gets hot, it's night-night.
I mean, it's like almost every game, like even Saturday. So Mississippi State comes in here and news breaks like an hour or two before tip-off that Mississippi State's going to be without one of its starting guards. So Quindary Weatherspoon's little brother, Nick, is suspended indefinitely. So you're like, oh, well, Mississippi State's down a guard. They're down a ball handler. They're down someone that can score. And then Nick being out, though, allowed Tyson Carter to start and play more, and he scored a career high. Or pretty close to it. Like, it's just it's kind of unbelievable. And, like, the South Carolina loss, A.J. Lawson scored, like, I want to say he scored, like, a season high, or a he scored the most he has in any other SEC game, and shot the lights out from three. It's just like almost every game where this happens.
Yeah.
And yes, it wouldn't surprise me, like Bryce Brown or Jared Harper went off. Bryce Brown went, he had 28 on 6 of 7 from three against Kentucky. So like he's more than capable, but I feel like Auburn kind of got its bad game at home midweek out of the way last week against Ole Miss.
Yeah, in Arkansas last year, if you recall, they got smoked at Auburn. They lost by like 22, I think. I mean, they got obliterated. So, like I said earlier, we were talking about Arkansas maybe being able to sneak into the NCAA tournament. Now, you're trying to find some wins on the schedule to get to at least 18. I think they need 18 to get to the NIT. I don't think you get there with 17 wins.
Yeah.
18 wins before the SEC tournament, I think they can make the NIT. But with 6 games left, you got 3 on the road, 3 at home.
3 road games are tough, man. Like Auburn, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. I know Vanderbilt's like relatively garbage compared to the rest of the league this year, but like they're playing a little bit better. I listened to Bryce Drew in the coaches teleconference this morning. Like they're improving. They just haven't like gotten their win yet. But I mean, that's still like that's such a distinct home court advantage, the way that whole floor is set up, the benches behind the baskets and all that. It's just it's always been a tough place. But like Tennessee almost went in there and lost.
Yeah.
Oh like,
yeah.
So nobody's.
It's a strange
losing there.
It's a very strange court. The scorer's table are like eye level with the floor.
Yeah.
Which is always.
Yeah, it's weird.
Weird. But Arkansas plays at Auburn Wednesday night at 7:30. Next home game is Texas A&M. That's, I was about to say that's a winnable home game, but I'm kind of afraid to call any of these remaining games winnable just because Arkansas is just not playing very well right now. And there is a lot of unrest in the fan base. You know, when you see – and you get on Twitter after a game and
it's toxic on
after
there,
a loss, and you see that Mike Anderson is trending. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
What do we have here? And just the fans are restless, man. And you can't really blame them. You thought you have the Hawks coming in here. Daniel Gafford's coming back for another season. And now to see them at 14-11 with pretty much no shot of making the NCAA tournament and having to scratch and claw to make the NIT, that's unacceptable to a big portion of the fan base, especially in Mike Henderson's 8th season. Mm-hmm. And I can, you know, as media members, we kind of have to look at both sides of it. We kind of have to be able to argue from either angle. So while it is a young team, one of the youngest teams in the country, maybe Mike Anderson's youngest team ever, it's not like this is his first season. He's had years to build a roster and not have the youngest team in America to not have to be starting freshmen and sophomores. I mean, ultimately the buck stops with him, and he's the one that manages the roster. So having a young team in your 8th season, that's not a good excuse. And his buyout is not very big. It's $1 million per year that's left on his contract.
Yeah.
And I think his contract currently runs through the 2021-22 season. So if Hunter Yurecek and Arkansas really wanted to pull the trigger this year, maybe they put out some feelers, they have a coach that's interested, maybe they pull the trigger this year, they would only owe Mike $3 million. And after the Bielema fiasco with firing Jeff Long and firing Brett Bielema and having to pay him $12 million and pay all of his assistants and then hire a new coach and pay his buyout and pay his salary, a $3 million buyout doesn't sound too bad. And so maybe, you know, maybe Hunter and the powers that be think that it's worth it after this season. Personally, I think he's going to get one more year because, you know, it is like, you know, having a young team is not necessarily an excuse, but the administration might want to give him one more year with the Hawks, this, you know, this young group that he recruited.
But if your best player is not back next year, then you're kind of like, I don't want to say that you might be in a worse position next year than you were coming into this year, knowing that Daniel Gafford was going to be here, but who else is around him? Mm-hmm. Next year you're like, okay, well, we've got these guys coming back, but we don't have like the – we don't have the centerpiece.
Right.
And so I don't know. That's not a situation that I don't think it would be. I don't think it would be fair to put a new coach in.
Yeah.
With that. I mean, you're walking in, hey, why don't you come coach our team without Daniel Gafford? How does that sound? Yeah. Like that's not real enticing.
And your most veteran player would be Adriel Bailey.
Yeah.
And a bunch of sophomores.
You know? Right. And a kind of a roster to figure out, because I mean you've got Ibi Ali, Ethan Henderson, now Jonathan Holmes is on scholarship, Khalil Garland's on scholarship. You've got four guys on scholarship now that are contributing nothing really.
Yeah.
And Justice Hill's coming in, and I know they're going after some guys for this next recruiting class, but I don't think any of those guys are like it's not a guy that's going to come in and change the program immediately, like from day one. Like that's just like next year's. I know we still got seven games minimum left in this season. Like next year doesn't look any brighter because like in the past, and I got to give a shout out to Doc Harper, who I used to write with at Arkansas Fight, SB Nation. Like, anytime Arkansas has gone through like a rough spell in Mike's tenure, you could have always pointed to, oh, well, Bobby's coming. Bobby Portis is coming.
Yeah.
Oh, the junior college guards, Daryl Macon, Jalen Barford are coming. Oh, wait, so we had a bad year. Oh, Daniel Gafford's coming. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
What's next? And you just like Justice Hill's here, but you've already got a team. Like, no offense to Justice. Justice is probably going to be a fine player if he doesn't play football. But you've got plenty of guards.
Right.
You've already got plenty of guards. Like, you got to figure out what – I think you right now you've already got to be thinking, and they probably already have been. Like, we got to give staff some credit. Like, they're not completely just out of it. Like, they're not spaced out. They're thinking about next year too.
Yeah.
They're thinking about next year too. How can we try to improve upon this season, next year, potentially without Dan? That's really hard. And you're just like, I don't know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because there's always been something that's like that you could point to say, oh, I think we'll manage at least, because Bobby's coming, JUCO guards, and then Dan. But just I don't know that there's like that savior like those four guys were. And even when Dan came, like, you got bounced in the first round of the tournament.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's turned out fantastic for you.
And that's the way college coaches are judged, for better or worse, is how far they can make it in the tournament. And yeah, while Mike has not had a losing season, he also has not got past the second round. And you think you know it's easy as a fan to think about what might have been. What if in that North Carolina game a couple years ago in the tournament that Arkansas almost won, what if they beat North Carolina and make the Sweet 16? That might have bought Mike. It would have bought him a lot more good capital with the fans.
He would have almost beat them and got an extension. So I'd imagine what would have happened if he had beat them.
Oh, yeah. Maybe his contract or his buyout would be a little bit more right now. But that's one of the big things that, you know, that that fans that want to see a coaching change point to is no Sweet 16s. And while that might be kind of an arbitrary, you know, goalpost or whatever, that's the way success is measured in college basketball. It's how far you can make it in the tournament. And it doesn't matter that he took UAB to the Sweet 16, and it doesn't matter that he took Missouri to the Elite Eight. At Arkansas, he hasn't got past the second round. And
it almost doesn't matter that he's never had a losing season now.
Yeah.
Because that almost, like when people bring up, I think we should hold on to Mike. I think we should hold on to Mike. When somebody says, well, he's never had a losing season, that's almost kind of like being used against him. It's like, oh, so that's the reason that we're holding on to him? That's that's not a great reason to, like,
no.
That's not a great reason to hold on to somebody.
And one of those seasons was 16-16.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on. And this season could turn out the same way. And, I mean, that's like you were saying, some people point to, well, he's never had a losing season. Well, we might be about to see one this season. And then what does he have to say that when people call for his head? He can no longer say that he's never had a losing season, and he can't point to his tournament resume.
If they don't win four more games, it will be the fewest wins that they've had in his 8 years. Is there at 14 right now? Mm-hmm. He won 18 in his first season. He won 18 in his first season, 19 in his second. And so, like, you've got seven games minimum left. I mean, I don't even want to look at the schedule anymore. I'm kind of tired of doing that. But three road games and then a neutral site game and three home games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to find a way to win four of those just to evade the fact that you're almost going back to year one win totals almost a decade in.
They need to win four games so that, you know, that people can't say this is Mike's worst season at Arkansas.
I know for a fact.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Yeah, this is his worst offensive team he's had since his first 2 years. That's a fact. And like the offense, like this year has been, and I called that into question like at the beginning of the year, because you've got Dan, your centerpiece, but you've got a bunch of unproven college scorers. How are they gonna translate? And if you can't score, you better be able to defend. And his team, like this team's top 50 nationally in adjusted defensive efficiency, which is pretty good, but they're like well into the bottom half in that regard, like in conference games.
Yeah.
And so, like, those spells, like, they had, like, you get up 13 against South Carolina, and then South Carolina runs off, like, 22 of the next 26 points. Like, if your offense goes dry, you've got to be able to defend. And when you have lapses defensively, like, it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
It's going to kill you. And that's why the 18-point lead at LSU's gone. The 10-point second-half lead against Vanderbilt's gone. The 8-point lead here on Saturday, gone.
Poof.
Yeah, it just... Welcome back to the pod.
Coming back with a vengeance. Arkansas currently trending in the wrong direction, but we will be here every week to talk about it, for better or worse. The season's not over. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Arkansas, like we said, Arkansas has at least 7 games left. They've got, 14 wins right now. Who knows? Maybe they win. Maybe they go on a 7-game win streak and they beat Kentucky in Lexington. Hey, crazier things have happened, right? But we'll be here to document and talk about all of it. Arkansas's next game at Auburn, Wednesday, 7:30. We'll be back with the basketball podcast of Mid-America next Monday. But for Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. We're with Whole Hog Sports. Thanks for listening.